Hey, and it's now April the 6th. This is Tuesday evening, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Welcome. This is Russ Dizdar, Survive to Thrive Radio Network, and we're the guest host tonight. And we're going to continue the series we begun Monday night. And listen, tonight deals with the physics of God and the resurrection, the glorification. Do we really understand the power and literally what is behind the, well, the act of the resurrection and the coming glorification? Now, let me tell you something. Years ago, I walked into a store. I happened to look up. There's a girl that I'd seen from high school days, and she came over to me, and she said, "I heard that you're into the Bible now." And I said, "Well, yeah." And she said, "Well, you know, I believe in parts of the Bible, and I read some of it, and whatever I don't like, I just throw out and just get into the parts that I do like." And she said, "Besides, we, you know, once we live here, we die and we're gone after that." She said, "I believe that when you die, we cease to exist." I'll tell you what, another girl down at Cumberland College years ago, it was really kind of fascinating to talk to her day after day about how she believed that the moment that we died, we were erased like a tape, that we no longer exist. Let me ask you something right now. If you're listening live, if you're listening to the archives later on, obviously you're alive, you exist. But what about when death comes? I mean, what's the thing about death anyway, and dying, and then if there's nothing after the grave, nothing after this life, if we cease to exist? Well, that's the concept of annihilationism. The idea that that we're completely annihilated, that we no longer exist, that we cease to exist at the end of this life. A lot of atheists believe that completely. They have no idea, and even agnostics will say they just simply don't know. And the possibilities are there is no existence on the other side of death. That we live here, that we eat here, we work here, we love here, and then we die here, and that is it. Zip. It's over. No more existence. Is that what you believe? Is that what you believe? Tonight, we're going to continue the series, The Physics of God, dealing with the resurrection glorification as it relates in contrast to reincarnation, tonight to annihilationism. Tomorrow night, Wednesday night, we're going to deal with this and the alien agenda. What is death all about, and what is behind the alien concept of an afterlife? And then on Friday night, we'll have the show that deals with, the evolution to deity and the attempts to become godlike to kind of outrun. Listen, there are those who are into cryonics. There are those that want to be able to download their entire personality into a fresh new cloned body when their physical body wears out. Listen, billions of dollars are spent even by and for geneticists looking for the death gene or the death code, the gene within that somehow it could be turned around. Somehow we can change the genetics and we will not age and die and our physical bodies. Listen, I think it's an incredible thing for you and I to go to the mirror and look there and see our face. And see our face. I used to do this years ago when I was into youth ministry, and year after year after year, and new crews of young people would come in. One of the hottest topics on a topical night was dealing with death. And we'd talk about death, and I would have all the young people close their eyes, 30, 40, 50, 60 of them sometimes. And I would say to them, just imagine that you don't exist any longer. Just imagine that when you die, you cease to exist. You know the weird thing? Year after year after year, year after year after year, the kids just couldn't handle the concept that they did not exist. That they, as a living entity, existing here and now, with all of our feeling, all of our sense or want of value, that we just simply cease to exist forever and ever and ever and ever. Like an old television show that's off air, no longer. The best would be pictures, old videos and movies of our lives. I'll never forget the day my dad died. The day, the morning that I knew that it was happening and I prayed for him and I got the call hours later from California that he had passed away. And according to his will, the way he had it set up, I was told that they were going to cremate him immediately. And I called and said, wait. And I flew out there as quick as I could. My brothers got out there and my sister came and we wanted to see the body. We wanted to see our dad, even though he was dead. Now, it was weird going in. They wheeled him out into the waiting room of this crematorium on like a gurney, like, well, whatever it was, one of these, well, you know how it is with a dead body. They pulled down the sheet, and there he was. He'd been dead for 2 days, lying there. There's his body. That's the body that I'd seen just 6 months prior, talking to him, wheeling him around on the Huntington Beach Pier as we talked and got a hamburger at a little hamburger shop out there on the end of the pier. You know, talking about all of his life, 70 years old, emphysema, asbestos poisoning, and he died. Now, after we left that day, and I was told to come back on the day for the funeral to pick up my dad after he'd been cremated. Now, let me tell you something, that when I went back to the crematorium, picked up my father, I walked in and told him that I was there to pick up Mr. Carl Dizdar. There was a bag on the secretary's table next to an American flag because he was a veteran. The bag had handles on it like a little shopping bag, and inside was a box with the dust and the bits of bones of my father. I picked up the bag, I picked up the flag, I said thank you to the lady, I walked out the door. On the way to the car, I started to go to the trunk. And I said, there's no way that I can put my dad into the trunk, even like this. I set that little shop bag next to me, the passenger seat, got to Riverside Cemetery and was carrying the little bag with the dust and the bits of bones that were left in a box up the hill where everybody was waiting. It was there that I thought about his existence. It was there that I remembered when I was little, a time that my dad took me to a little store called Grant's, and it was my birthday, and it was all over, but he wanted to buy me something extra. We went up there together, he bought me a little thing, and we came back and spent time. I remember my dad would pick us up by his muscles. As kids, we would hang on to his biceps, and he would literally lift us up and pick us up. We thought he was huge. My dad, he had a temper. My dad, you know, he raised us going to the Croatian Club every Sunday, and he would get drunk with my grandfather. My dad went to work and worked overtime and provided and took care of everything. Took us on to vacations to California and to Florida. My dad cooked on grills in the summertime, and we had picnics and... You know how it is. He existed. I've got a picture here. He existed. When I walked up that hill, I said to myself internally, I said, I'm carrying bits of bones and dust. My dad's face no longer exists in the physical realm. He's no longer here. Like a vapor, we're here for a short period of time and then we're gone. You know the great thing walking up that hill where all the people were waiting for the memorial service? Carrying my dad or the bits of bone and dust in the box. I could smile as broadly as could be because of a Savior who died on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Salvation provided, destruction of death, gift of eternal life. See, I walked up that hill not saying, that's the end of the existence of this human being forever and ever and ever and ever. Like his mother, my grandmother, when she was 80, I led her to Christ. She was so saved. 80 years she didn't know God, 80 years she walked without God, but when she came to Christ, she absolutely knew by the indwelling of the Spirit of God, by the Word of God, that she was going to heaven. I was there the day she died, patted me on the face and said goodbye, and there in front of my eyes, she closed her eyes, her heart quit, and she departed from her physical body, absent from the body and present with the Lord. You see, that's the kind of confidence that God the Holy Spirit plants into the believer's life. You know that you know that you know. You ever read this in 1 John chapter 5? I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God that you might know, K-N-O-W, that you might know that you have eternal life. My grandmother knew all the time she's going. She gave me a departing speech just before she died. She knew she'd close her eyes and open them on the other side and see God face to face. My dad, who died later, barely made it in. Arrogant all his life, but he did come to Christ. Kind of like the thief on the cross. But God heard the prayers, and God, who wills that none would perish, would rather save even the worst and most rotten of sinners than to see them lost and in hell and separated forever. So today, when I talk about resurrection, glorification versus sad concepts like reincarnation or annihilationism. That day I walked up that hill and spoke to family members in the crowd of people concerning my dad. I carried that bag and set it on the table and said, here's but the bones and the dust left. His face doesn't exist. His arms, his legs, his smile, his voice, all of it gone on this side, south of heaven. But he left. That morning that I prayed for him and the moment that he died, he left. Because of the grace of God, the gift of eternal life. Do you remember the man on the cross? A thief, a sinner, like you, like me. But he turned in that final hour. What hope did he have? Was he an existentialist, a nihilist, an agnostic, an atheist? Was he a deist, a new ager? What was he? Hopeless, lost, separated. Yet dying next to God in human flesh. God in human flesh, nailed to the cross, sinless. Both of the thieves knew he was sinless. But the one turned to him and cried out, Lord. See, the Spirit of God tells us in Corinthians 12, chapter 12 or Romans chapter 10, that can only be done by the working of the Spirit of God and by the one who really believes in Christ as Savior, accepts him for who he is. And this thief on the cross accepts Christ for who he is, calls him Lord, and says, please remember me. Doesn't have any other theology, doesn't have any other concept, doesn't even know anything else. But he looks at what others would think is a dying man on a cross. Christ. You ever just examine the cross? New Agers need to do it. Luciferians need to do it. Agnostics and atheists need to redo it. Take a look. Look at the human personal side of all of it. He died like no one else. Crying out loud, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. In reference to that sense of separation, because he became the sin bearer of you and me and the sum total of humanity. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Dying on the cross, he thinks of us. Now, it was spoken about 700 years ago very clearly in Isaiah 53. And this is the one that could look to the dying thief that looked to him for hope and recognized him as Savior and Lord. And Christ on the cross could look at him and say these words. And this blasts out of the water the concept of human existence being annihilated, ceasing when we die. Jesus Christ said, today you will be with me in paradise. Paradise. You will be with me in paradise. Can you contemplate the words? Can you meditate? Can you memorize? Can you think on the words of Christ? Could anyone else say these words? He knew where he came from. He'd prayed in the garden just prior to being taken to be beaten and then taken to the cross. Remember John's Gospel, chapter 17, Jesus? God in human flesh speaks to God the Father. Return to me the glory I had with you before the beginning of creation. The eternal Christ, the eternal God in human flesh. The Logos, God eternally existing, became flesh and dwelt for a while among us. The best friend you could ever have is Christ. The best friend you could ever have, if you're a thief, hanging on a cross, in your sins, hellbound, and dying, and suffering. The best friend you could have next to you is the living Christ. Speaking those words, today you will be with me in paradise. When Jesus said the words today, that holds all of the assumption that this man would actually die and his human spirit, he would depart from his body. See, Ecclesiastes tells us that when we die, we, our spirit, we return to God who gave, who's the author. He's called the father of our human spirit in even the book of Hebrews. You see, you could have your arms and legs cut off, you're still there. If your physical body is killed and you die, and it's going to die sometime, you depart out of your body and you do go. It is appointed unto man once, or destined unto man once. Read about it, Hebrews chapter 9. That's what God says. After that, a judgment. Why? Because if you lived all your life rejecting God, spitting at God, not wanting anything to do with God, and when you die, you are caught in that sin nature, linked to the enemy, lost and hellbound. Without God in this life, because of your own willed refusal, even the word of God says they perish because they refused to love the truth and so be saved. Could have been. Maybe some of you listening right now. Some that are hard, some that are cold, some that are arrogant, some that spit on God in anything that God has to say. You don't want them now, you won't have them later. The thief on the cross, one of them spit, literally in his rejection of Christ. The other one acknowledges, accepts, and calls out to him for help. That thief on the cross knew, remember me when you enter the kingdom. Remember me. He knew this was no mere man dying on a cross. The words Jesus speaks today, literally today, you know, you're going to die. Your physical body's going to die and you're going to pop up out of that body. But now because you've turned to the Savior, now because you've called on me, and because I give the gift of eternal life, because I am God in human flesh, I'm the Savior of the world, I take care of the sin nature, the sin issue, the barrier, the Satan issue, the death issue, the hell issue. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Now, if you ever go to a relative or to a friend's funeral, and they truly knew the Lord, they were born in the Spirit of God, Christ lived in them, don't forget those words. You see, days later when you see the hardened body in the casket, the face that you remember in the nice dress, or if it's a man in the suit, they've long been gone. Instantaneously absent from the body, present with the Lord. You see, Christ, in coming, blasts apart the emptiness, the vanity of annihilationism. Of those that would try to say that we just cease to exist. Now listen, I've been going on 20-some minutes already, and I am only giving the introduction. And I would assume that some believers in Christ may download this, make a CD, and maybe have it for a family member. If anything else in the entire 1 hour that we've had here now, remember the words of Christ. No one else has ever said these words. No one else could. Jesus Christ said, today you will be with me in paradise. Paradise. Do you understand the impact of paradise? All of the suffering and all of the pain and all of the death and all of this frustration of a fallen, ragged edge of a world. Gone. All of what is God's love, God's peace, God's presence, pure safety, and the reality of eternal life. Just less than seconds away. I don't know how long the thief lived his life, but he's on the cross dying. You don't have to be on a cross actually dying and going to die within hours to realize that your physical body's getting older and that you're going to die. In a fallen world where the wages of sin is death, the reason for the existence of death. I've stood at many, many funerals as a pastor over the years when grandparents and others and those in car accidents and even children lying in the casket. Dozens, sometimes hundreds sitting there waiting for the pastor to give a word of encouragement. And what incredible words can be given when we knew the person literally knew Christ as Savior and Lord. What absolute, sure, and confident hope we could give everybody. Something that I used to do at all funerals is tell everybody there that if for one moment God would let this person who's already been up there with him speak to you, though God does forbid talking to the dead, they would tell you, try to give in human words descriptions of paradise. I've always told people over the years that if, as a believer in Christ, you die absent from the body, you're present with the Lord, I don't believe anyone in heaven ever said, please excuse me, Jesus, could you send me back paradise? Amazing paradise. So when we now talk of the physics, the power of God, of the infinite, immeasurable God in the resurrection and glorification, having the power to give life. Listen, hold on just for a few minutes. We're going to listen to Steve. We'll be right back. Hey, this is Russ Dizdar again. Listen, guest host here tonight, Survive to Thrive Radio Network. Listen, if you're looking for us on the web, shatterthedarkness.net. Shatterthedarkness.net on the web. And I want you to know there's hundreds of MP3s there for you, absolutely free. We also have a training course called Confronting the Powers. It's up free. A brand new series called Dark Rituals, Dark Powers. That's ongoing, along with a few others on Psy Wars and Homo Satanus, The Rise of Antichrist. The book is out, The Black Awakening. Take a look at the information on that. And we came back from the Michigan conference about a week ago, and now we've got it up on the website. So scroll down. You can get the entire conference was recorded, 6 hours of that, and I'm adding hours to it locally. And so you can have all of that. And we're getting ready to leave here in 2 days to go to St. Louis. And I'm hoping that some of you will join us there in St. Louis The Truth Is Out There, Christian Symposium on the Paranormal. We have St. Louis on the 9th and the 10th. If you go down on the shatterthedarkness.net website, scroll down, you're going to see that. Click on the St. Louis conference information. They have a website. You can take a look at all the information, how to register, and what all the topics. Dr. Gregory Reed will be there. Dr. Mary Jo Schneller will be there. And L.A. Marzulli will be there. Tony Cowell will be there. And I'll be there to unleash. One of my lectures is on dark technologies. And and the other one's on dealing with psi war and psi warfare. So that's going to be at the St. Louis conference just in a few days. So if you're able, Friday and Saturday, the 9th and the 10th of April, we'd love to see you. Listen, I got an article sent in from Tim, good friend out west. Let me just read you the top of this because it has something to do with what we're dealing with tonight concerning the physics of God, death, resurrection, glorification, versus being annihilated in the end. Again, that we live, love, and then die and don't exist. Well, there is that teaching out there. There is that belief system. I think it has a lot to do with the fear of death and judgment. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Let me read the article to you that he sent to me. Ritual sacrifice of children on the rise in Uganda. Now, I'm reading this article, Associated Press, and Caroline Aya was playing in front of her house in January when a neighbor put a cloth over her mouth and fled with her. A couple of days later, the 8-year-old's body was found a short walk away, with her tongue cut out. Police believe she was offered up as a human sacrifice in a ritual killing thought to bring wealth or health. Pretty amazing, isn't it? You know, I stand sometimes if we do not stagger at information like that. I mean, they've got posters out now. You know the posters in Uganda say, put out by the police and an anti-human sacrifice task force. The police established an anti-human sacrifice task force. Posters on the, I'm quoting from the Associated Press article, Ritual Sacrifice of Children on Rise in Uganda. And I'm quoting them right now where it says, posters on police station walls show a sinister stranger luring two young girls into a car, below bold letters that call on parents to, quote, prevent child sacrifices. See, we've been dealing with the underground Satanism in Germany, the UK, Italy. The incredible, vast growth of underground Satanism, rituals, human sacrifice. United States, millions, victims, satanic ritual abuse. I've seen the slides here at the Law Enforcement Police Academy. But how can anybody... This is not just for a moment to gasp emotionally about a little 8-year-old girl by an individual, obviously in a belief system, guided by the demonic realm. How's that any different than the Maya from many years ago, or the Aztecs, or the Romans, or the Philistines and Moloch worship? Or what's done at Bohemian Grove, where presidents and prime ministers and kings observe a human sacrifice. When I read these words, quote, a couple of days later, the 8-year-old body was found a short walk away. A short walk away with her tongue cut out. Police believe she was offered up as a human sacrifice in a ritual killing thought to bring wealth or health. There is a dark side. There is a side that operates and convinces people that light level spells and hexes and ritual working can bring favors and powers and demons. And the agenda is ramping up. The agenda is bigger than ever. The agenda is broad. And just like God said concerning the nation of Israel, in the Old Testament, 2 Kings 21:22, that innocent blood has been shed from one side of the nation to the other. America, that's true. Canada, that's true. UK, that's true. Europe, that's true. Uganda. It doesn't have to be the old European form of Satanism. Why do the dark side, demonic powers, ultimately look for human sacrifice? The doorway is so big, but it's about their nature. Jesus revealed the nature of this masqueraded New Age spirits, this plethora of demonic presence manifesting as never before in human history. Jesus Christ said that he is the father of lies. Then when he speaks his native, the nature of his being's tongue. And he is a murderer. The word means he's a slaughterer. He slaughters. He inspires murder. He inspires the slaughter of others. He inspires wars. He brings catastrophe, like in the book of Job, and kills kids. And the dark demonic presence, New Agers, you have no concept of what this is all about. You just don't. Psychics and remote viewers, you have no concept of the dark side. Ed Dames can claim that he remote viewed Satan all he wants. Doesn't change the fact that this dark presence masquerading in many ways, bringing deeper, broader seduction to humanity, even to some of you listening, is so sinister. Like a child sexual predator that would offer candy to a little girl in order to seduce her to come and get into a car. I saw a movie once like that, where the little girl, because of the candy, because the man looked so pleasant, because it was all a masquerade, he intended to rape her and kill her. She got into the car. Predators like this, they're going to have to be hammered down. Nowadays, moms and dads in America, everywhere, and in Uganda, right in the front yard, we know of a case where they cut the screen, went in and took the girl. And just before the man, this is out of Minnesota, just before the man was going to sacrifice the little girl, he got caught. So, as far as news today, as far as the things that we need to continue, listen, denial of radical evil like this, saying I don't want to hear about it, doesn't make it go away. It only empowers its development. There is an evolution of the dark side, and it is growing up to the very edges of your doorstep. Thief on the cross had his problems also. He didn't know what else to do. He was hopeless, helpless, and dying. Next to him, wow, what a day. What a day in the life of a thief that Christ would be dying on the cross. About a year ago, I heard George Norrie from Coast to Coast Radio talking about time travel. He was discussing the death of Christ because if there's any time in the past, he would love to have gone all the way back to the day Jesus was on the cross. You know, George Norrie made me cry that night. George Norrie, I just simply bursted out loud a response when he said what he said. You don't want to know what he said? I know George would tell you this again today. If I ever talk to him, I'm going to bring the subject up. I really am. George said if you could ever time travel back into the past, he'd like to be there at the cross when Jesus... Here's what he said. He would love to stop him or take him down from the cross. I was really shocked. Mr. George Norrie from Coast to Coast radio station, listened to by millions upon millions, if he could time travel to the past, he wanted to be there in order to take Jesus Christ down from the cross. Then George Norrie said these words. But I bet, referring to Christ now, but I bet he wouldn't let me. And I bursted out loud, yes, George, you're absolutely right. He would not let you. It was there, the provision of breaking every barrier between us and God. Sin, sin nature, Satan's ownership, hellbound, lost. Every barrier's broken now. What was done at the cross was the deepest, broadest, widest spiritual act in fallen human history. Jesus knew he would rise from the dead. He said so in advance. He knew what he was doing. Go read the Gospel of John chapter 10. By his own authority, he laid down his life. No one could take it from him. And he would raise it up again. And so when Mr. George Norrie said those words, very kind words, he would like to have taken him off the cross of suffering. But George said it. George said it. But I bet he, Christ, would not let me. I cried out that night, yes, George, you're right. He would not let you. It was there he spoke the words that blast apart the sickening emptiness of annihilationism. The lie of annihilationism. Today, you will be with me. See how personal it is? God is infinite, immeasurable, immortal, indestructible, indefeatable. God is, in his attributes, enormous, huge. On the cross, huge work. Only Jesus Christ could say the words. Now let me ask a few questions tonight. If you know anybody that believes in just the annihilation of the human soul, the idea that we live here and then when we die, we just cease to exist. It was always funny year after year when I had all those youth meetings. Hundreds of young people had been given that question. Close your eyes for a moment, and I'm going to give you 60 seconds to try to think, contemplate, to try to think through that when you die, you just stop existing. You don't exist any longer. Of all the years that I did that with young people, in that topical discussion that dealt with death, annihilationism, and so forth, in which at the very end we pointed to Christ, death, resurrection, eternal life, all of that. I mean, none of the young people. There's not one young person ever that came to me and said, Russ, I believe that we just cease to exist and I'm fine with that. Could you imagine anybody being fine with that? Have you ever read in the book of Ecclesiastes, a great book, where the Word of God says this: God has set eternity in our hearts, and we cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. We were meant to be eternal beings. We've been interrupted. The wages of sin's death. Hell is ultimate separation from God and the second death. It's called the second death. Eternal separation from God, the second death. You don't want that tag on your toe when you die. Second death. It's over. It's not annihilationism. You're not annihilated. There is the great white throne judgment. All those who've spit on God said no. All those who've lived with the sin nature, fallen nature, separated from God, rejected the love of God, the offer of God, the hand of God, the redemption of God. Listen, everyone that says, no, I want new age spirits. No, I want to, you know, whatever your other choices are. If you do not want God, the Creator, Redeemer, like the other man on the cross, you seal up your heart, fallen, lost heart, separated from God right now. Well, let me tell you something. You're not going to be in the first resurrection, the glorification. There is a second resurrection unto the great white throne judgment, which leads to the second death. Everlasting destruction, shut out from the presence of God. I beg you in the sight of God, if you are lost, to give your heart to the living Christ, who on the cross could say to you also these words: today, or the day you die, you will be with me in paradise. No one else could say it. No one else was God in human flesh. No one else was the Savior of the human race. No one else was sinless. No one else was going to a cross to die for the sum total of humanity. No one else was going to there defeat sin, Satan, hell, death, and separation from God. No one else was going to go there, die, and rise from the dead, ascend back to where he came from, with one clear, absolute promise. Not the lie of New Agers and occultists that refer to some kind of spiritual return of a Christ presence. Lies, lies, lies again. Jesus taught it very clearly. Go read John's Gospel, chapter 14. He dealt with the issue of fear. He dealt with the issue of separation from God. He dealt with the whole reason why he came. The whole reason he was going to leave them. He's gone off to prepare a place. For one reason. So that he can come back again. For one reason. To get you and I who believe and who accept the love of God in Christ. For one reason, to take us back to be with Him. It's all about a personal relationship. Do we get it yet? Let's knock on the door of our heads. Do we get this yet? We can talk about the power of God, the energy of God, the physics of God, the enormity of God, the infinity of God, the immeasurability of God. But it's all about a personal relationship. God loves you. God wants you to know Him. He knows whether you're lost. He knows whether you're saved. He knows whether you have His Spirit and His life and redemption in you, or whether you have dark spirits and lies and counterfeit spirituality, whether you've got the junk, the counterfeit. And it may be in this moment the very Spirit of God that raised Christ from the dead, the very Spirit of Christ who's here in the world to convince, convict, and draw you and summon you, if you don't know Christ, to him. Is Jesus Christ knocking on the door of your heart saying, let me in, let me bring you. Let me bring you my life, my power, the blood that washes the totality of guilt. Let me bring you the gift of eternal, indestructible immortality, of being with me, with God, of seeing God face to face. New Agers won't get that. Listen, the spiritual lies that are being pumped out, there is a dark side that not only inspires crazed, goofy, evil people to snatch a little 8-year-old girl from her front yard, cut her tongue out, and offer her in a sacrifice to Satan so that they can get wealth and health. It's not the only place on the earth that it's occurred. Annihilationism. We live. Let's just grasp the concept of annihilationism. That when we die, that's the end of existence, period. A pagan priest I brought to a theology class, and I wanted the students to ask him questions about his beliefs. And the more he gave answers, the utter hopelessness of his belief system came out. When we die, we cease to exist. Like a goldfish. Like a frog. We cease to exist. Only in the memories of those who knew us while we lived here. I don't know George Washington, never seen him, saw these pictures of him. There's no attachment there. He died. Hundreds and hundreds of millions of people have died. Though psychologists tell us that there's an enormous fear of death. If you fear death, go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 2. There is a word from God for you in Hebrews, chapter 2. If we cease to exist, let me ask the question, why are we here? How did we get here? And it would also involve that there are no moral consequences. That whatever we do in this life, including stealing a little 8-year-old girl from a front yard only to take her down the street, cut out her tongue, offer her in a blood sacrifice to the dark powers so that you yourself can get payday someday, buddy. Thank God for the judgment. He has the right to bring judgment on sin. He has the right to stop the madness. It's obvious that we can't do it. Philosophers and scientists and physicists and theoretical physicists and musicians and artisans and politicians. Who can stop evil? Who can stop the reign of evil? We all feel it in the air. It's coming on down, the end of time. But if we don't exist, there's no moral judgment. Yeah, right. Good one, Satan. You see, even the demons themselves know of a coming ultimate judgment. And if you say, well, I don't believe God would send anybody to hell. Who are you? Are you God? Are you going to push God off the throne and sit there and decide what you're going to do? What are you going to do with those who want to keep the fallen nature, who want to live against and opposed to what God's all about? In the kingdom of God, there's no rape, there's no war, there's no death. Isn't that what you wanted? Isn't that what we all wanted? The Prince of Peace will bring this, not the Antichrist. Not the world teacher New Agers, not the Mahdi Muslims, not the fake Maitreya, English people. Poor Benjamin Krim. doesn't know the words, "Today You'll Be With Me in Paradise." Listen, this is Russ Dizdar. We're at the end of the hour. ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. We'll be back on Wednesday night at 6 p.m. God bless you.